Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we remember 9/11 as we are on the anniversary of 9/11. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our podcast, you could do so by going to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get behind the work we are doing, Doreen from New York, thank you so much. Sarah from Chattanooga, Tennessee, thank you so much. Linda from Jefferson, Massachusetts, thank you. And William from Baltimore, Maryland, thank you so much. We remember 9/11. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
20 years ago, our world changed. Regardless of your views, the fact remains that we lost thousands of lives that horrific morning on September 11th and over the past 20 years since. Brave men and women in our first responder communities answered the call and rushed into the unknown as we watched in horror as the morning unfolded before our eyes. 343 firefighters were lost that day, and almost all of our first responders who answered that call have perished since. Minutemen Coffee, being unapologetically patriotic and constitutionally based, honors all of our men and women who serve and have served this amazing country. Minutemen Coffee is proud to partner with the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation to bring to America the 9/11 tribute roast and honor all of our first responders and military who have perished since 9/11. Give back and purchase the 9/11 tribute coffee, and all the net proceeds raised will benefit those heroes whom this amazing foundation serves. Go to MinutemenCoffee/911.com. That's MinutemenCoffee/911.com. 20 years ago, I was in second grade. I remember exactly where I was when I heard the news of 9/11. Now, when you're in second grade, you're not really able to process the enormity of the kind of wide-scale death and destruction. But a friend of mine who just had a child, congratulations, Alex, came storming into our second grade classroom, and he said that the World Trade Centers have been hit. The World Trade Center has been hit. I'll never forget it. Alex is a great friend of mine and still is. Really, really great guy. And the classroom was like, what are you talking about? And I remember all of a sudden, kind of like the administration came in, the equivalent of the administration at the school I was going into. And then by lunchtime, school was canceled. And parents picked me up from school and everybody was quiet. My mom was quiet. It was just a day of absolute. Again, in a second grade mind, I'm trying to think of the right way to process how I was processing it. It was like an open air funeral. That's the best way I could put it. It was like the whole country went into a funeral mindset. And being in second grade, it's one of my earliest childhood memories. I remember that everything that came after that. And I remember my parents trying to explain exactly what happened at 9/11 to me. And it was really hard to process because you're trying to just grasp the idea of evil at that age. You're like, what do you mean that people took over airplanes and flew them into the World Trade Center? What do you mean that airplanes were hijacked? Can that happen if we ever fly again? And from that point forward, my generation had that as a point of a day that you'll never forget. Like, where were you at Pearl Harbor type day? Where almost everything is centered around that. And then, of course, the 20 years of war in the Middle East. And the thousands of people that lost their lives, not just at the day of 9/11, but the thousands of people who lost their lives since. And let's go to Cut 77 news coverage on how just days before the 20th anniversary of 9/11, that we have just found two more remains were positively identified, and that brings total positively identified to 1,646 out of the nearly 3,000 killed. Let's play cut 77.
With just a few days left until the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks, two more victims identified today.
20 years later, Nakia was notified her beloved mother has finally been identified. Thanks to new technology, the DNA in some of the remains matched Dorothy's old toothbrush, making her the 1,646th victim to be positively ID'd.
And so as we look at 20 years later at 9/11, we have to do, and this is a call to action for every single adult out there and every single parent, which you need to tell this generation that didn't grow up with 9/11 what happened on 9/11. We have people that work for us at Turning Point USA that have no memory of 9/11. None. You now have a generation of leaders that are going to be growing up with no idea of what it's like, where your entire world and all of geopolitics changes almost overnight. Air travel changed for good. How we view the military changed. Almost everything changed. I know so many members of my generation have their own story of where they were and how it happened. And it's really an important question, and it's one that, you think about it, Osama bin Laden and his evil partners, they wanted to make America less free. They wanted to make America weaker. 20 years later, they got what they wanted. Despite all the sacrifice and all of the death, America is in a much more compromised position. We have less freedom than ever before, and we are weaker than any other time in my lifetime. I want to remember just some of the sound from 9/11, and especially important for a lot of our student and younger listeners who have really no memory of this. Let's start with, we have a whole bunch of sound here. Let's start with cut 59, ABC 7, early morning news on the morning of 9/11 with a shot of Lower Manhattan. Of course, they're giving the weather report, and they have no idea what's about to happen. Cut 59.
Might as well.
Good morning.
Might as well.
Good morning.
You?
Thanks for joining us on the Monday morning show. And most of you sitting through the city with an inch and a quarter of rain. Inch and a quarter. That was the rainfall total for the park. Walk over to the wall. We'll show you what it looks like. This shot showing you Lower Manhattan. And everything is actually in pretty good shape now as we work into clear. But for us, bright sunny skies, 65 degrees at 7 o'clock in the morning, and sunny and pleasant for the rest of the day, 80 degrees. It's kind of a guilty pleasure, as beautiful as this weather is going to be.
And that was just hours before the first plane was hijacked. Now, little did they know, as they did that release, people that were entered into our country because of our foolish immigration policies, and we never should have let these nationals into our country, and we did. Immigration could have stopped 9/11, and it didn't. They were given visitor visas and given flight lessons. We did not know this, but they were boarding planes at that very moment to eventually hijack them. And so I want to go to cut 60, some of the very first audio from flight 11 that a plane was being hijacked. And you have to remember, when the first plane went into the tower in New York City, people thought it was a mistake. People thought that it was a errant flight until the second one hit. Flight cut 60.
American 11, are you trying to call?
The cockpit is not answering their phone. Our number one has been staffed, and our five has been staffed.
Hey, I'm going to call from Washington. I am in a situation with American 11, a possible hijack.
What's going on, Betty? The aircraft is erratic again. Problems, are you ready?
And then cut 62, this is from air traffic control, communicating that a plane has hit the World Trade Center. Cut 62.
A plane just hit the World Trade Center.
What?
The 737?
It what?
Like the World Trade Center.
Who are you talking to?
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
And as I mentioned, cut 63, Condoleezza Rice, she said, as she worked for the Bush regime, that when the first plane hit, they thought, oh, what a terrible accident, not that it was a national security threat. Cut 63.
My assistant came in and said, a plane is at the World Trade Center. And I said, well, that's a strange accident. And I called the president. Initially, we thought maybe a small plane of some kind. And he said, well, keep me posted.
He'd been told that a small twin-engine prop plane crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center. You know, oh, that's a horrible accident. I was concerned, but I did not think of it as a national security threat.
And then cut 64, George W. Bush's staff, and when they were watching the news and saw the second plane hit the towers and realized at the same time that America, the entire nation, was under attack. And I want every young person and every student listening to this to think about how your entire convenient and nice and luxurious life can go from, you know, oh, wow, everything's fine, to in just moments' notice. A weather report of beautiful and pleasant to an attack on your nation. Cut 64.
So we brought CNN up. I was calling the White House Situation Room to talk to my senior duty officer. So I was chatting with him on the handset and watched the television as the rest of the country was watching the television at 9:03 when the second aircraft impacted into the second World Trade Center tower.
When the second plane hit, there was an audible gasp of air in the room. Some people put their hand on their chest. It was two realizations, right? One, that the immediate death toll, and then the fact that this was an attack on America.
And then W. Bush recounting the moment when he was told that the second plane, and how he wanted to stay calm and finish the event. You remember he was reading to children while it happened at a local school. Cut 65.
Andy Carr comes up to my behind me and says, second plane has hit the second tower. America's under attack. And I'm watching a child read. And then I see the press in the back of the room beginning to get the same message I just got. And I could see the horror etched on the face of the news people who had just gotten the same news. During a crisis, it's really important to set a tone and not to panic. And so I waited for the appropriate moment to leave the classroom. I didn't want to do anything dramatic. I didn't want to, you know, lurch out of the chair and scare the classroom full of children. And so I waited.
And then cut 66, recounting the first contact from the hijackers on plane 11 to air traffic control. Cut 66.
Is that American 11 trying to call?
Buddy. We have some planes. Just stay quiet and you'll be okay. We're returning to the airport.
And who's trying to call me here? American 11, are you trying to call?
Nobody moves. Everything will be okay. If you try to make any move, you'll danger yourself and the airplane. Just stay quiet.
You know, I've actually never heard that the Muslims that took over the planes talking to the air traffic control. I never heard that. Very powerful. Cut 67, CBS News report live when the second plane hit.
Because I was just like standing there pretty much looking out the window. I didn't see what caused it or if there was an impact.
So you have no idea right now?
Oh, there's another one. Another plane just hit. Right? Oh, my God. Another plane has just hit. It hit another building. Flew right into the middle of it. Explosion. My God, it's right in the middle of the building.
This one into the East Tower.
Yes. Yes.
So you could hear in her voice, and the whole nation knew simultaneously exactly what that meant, where it went from all of a sudden, you know, is this a plane off course? Is this a suicidal pilot? Is this an equipment failure? You could hear that at the beginning of her report, it's inquiry into shock and horror. I want to replay that one. That cut 67 goes, because they know exactly what it is at that moment. They're like, okay, this is not some pilot that, you know, was homicidal. All of a sudden, the entire nation is under attack. This is coordinated. Let's replay that one again. Cut 67.
Because I was just like standing there pretty much looking out the window. I didn't see what caused it or if there was an impact.
So you have no idea right now?
Oh, there's another one. Another plane just hit. Right? Oh, my God. Another plane has just hit. It hit another building. Flew right into the middle of it. Explosion. My God, it's right in the middle of the building.
This one into the East Tower.
Yes, yes.
I remember I sat down with some teenagers this summer, and I asked them, do you guys know about Flight 93? None of them knew it, but they do know about Black Lives Matter, and they do know about critical race theory. And that's what happens when you send your kids to government schools, unfortunately. Let's play the sound of air traffic control talking about Flight 93. Cut 68.
United 93, have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land?
He did not land.
Oh, he's down?
Yes, somewhere up northeast of Camp David.
And so Flight 93 was one of the planes, I think there were four that were total that hijacked, and it was on its way to Washington, D.C., and we don't know for sure its destination. Speculation is that it was the White House or Congress, and this was when passengers decided to step up and take back control of the cockpit in what was a kamikaze suicide mission, essentially. Now, that sounds bad. It wasn't a suicide mission, but you know what I mean. They knew they were going to die. You know my heart when I say that. And the last thing that we heard on the audio from Flight 93 was, let's roll. They went straight right into the cockpit and took down the Muslims that were about to try to kill Americans. 20 years ago, our world changed. We lost thousands of lives that horrific morning in September over the last 20 years. With chaos ensuing, brave men and women in our first responder communities answered the call and rushed into the unknown as we watched in horror as the morning unfolded before our very eyes. 343 firefighters lost their lives that day, and almost all our first responders who answered that call have perished since. We here at the Charlie Kirk Show are proud to partner with Minutemen Coffee, a company that is unapologetically patriotic and constitutionally based, who honors all our men and women who serve and have served in the amazing country that we call home. The morning of September 12th, America came together as one to honor all who lost their lives that day and in the days and weeks and years to come. I'm excited to announce that the official coffee provider for this program, Minutemen Coffee, is proud to partner with the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation 9/11 Tribute Roast. The patriots at Minutemen do not just want to honor those lost lives that morning, but want to honor all our first responders and military servicemen and women who have perished since 9/11. They're seeking to raise awareness of the fact that they put their lives on the line for all of us, no matter where you live. Anywhere in this country, there are firefighters, medics, and LEOs that have dedicated their lives to protecting and serving ours. We're proud to join Minutemen Coffee in giving back to those who have sacrificed so much for us and so many. So join us in producing the 9/11 tribute coffee, and all the net proceeds will be raised to benefit those heroes and the amazing foundation this serves. Go to MinutemenCoffee.com, promo code Charlie. MinutemenCoffee.com, promo code Charlie. With us is Don, who started Minutemen Coffee. How you doing?
I'm good, Charlie. Thanks for having me on today.
You bet. Tell us about why you started Minutemen and where you really think this plays a role right now in our country.
Well, I think we're at a critical time in our country's history that we've lost sight of the Constitution. Coffee is the one thing that brings us together as a nation. In 1773, we all know that the Boston Tea Party took place, and John Hancock and Sam Adams and the Indians all threw the tea into the harbor, and we became a coffee-drinking nation. And throughout the course of history, coffee brings us together. And only in recent times have we noticed that the purchase of coffee, is only one of the only commodities that actually purchased based on the beliefs of the roaster as well as the consumer. And being a history buff and being a former firefighter and a medic and a 9/11 shooting survivor, I realized that the Constitution has gone so far away from the mainstream that I felt compelled to bring it back.
Well, that's terrific. And so tell us about what you're doing to partner with the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation and your own work as a medic in Las Vegas.
So my wife and I were in Las Vegas during the shooting. We were in the VIP section when the shooting started. I had actually just went through an MCI or a masculine incident training, just believe it or not, a few weeks earlier. So during the shooting, my training ended up kicking in, and And I was blessed to be able to help as many people as we did with the other medics and fire and police that were there. But coming into now with the National Fallen Firefighters, it's been 20 years. And even though in light of what's happened recently, which we're, you know, that's a whole nother day, I wanted to bring awareness on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And so what a perfect partnership to join with the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation to not only raise awareness for the amazing work that they're doing for all of the lost firefighters. As you know, we lost 343 that day. I believe that the statistics are right. Almost 80%, if not more, of the responders that were there at Ground Zero have since perished. And so the National Fallen Firefighters Association is looking for donations and funding to help those families through various programs that they offer, scholarships, and the list goes on and on. It was a perfect fit. And so we were blessed to be able to have this is the first time anybody's seen this in anywhere. This is the new bag. This is going to launch today, Saturday, 9/11. And this is a one-year program. And our goal is to raise $250,000 for the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation with the sale of the swag and the coffee.
That's awesome. Andrew?
Yeah, no, Don, we talked about this on the phone recently. And I think what you've done with Minutemen is really fascinating because you have taken a stand. You're saying we are proudly conservative. So essentially you're cutting off half the market, if not more, by saying we are selling conservative coffee loudly, proudly, boldly. Why? Why did you decide to draw this line in the sand and defend the principles that you hold dear through your business?
Because this right here is the second most important document that was ever written in the history of mankind, the first being the Bible. This, I believe, because of the fact that we are so far away from this. Our founding fathers, through lives, fortunes, and sacred honor, and all of the 3% and all of the militia and all of the soldiers that stood up and have fought, bled, and died, we have come so far away from it that we need to bring it back into mainstream. And we need to start teaching legitimate, authentic history based on not what the media is telling us what is true or what the cancel culture is telling us what we can and can't do, but to stand firm. If they're passionate about their beliefs, why can't we be passionate about ours? And coffee just so happens to be the medium. For some crazy reason, the last couple of years, coffee is now that medium to share this with America, with our country.
I love that. It's sort of like the full circle of the Tea Party, and I'm talking about the Boston Tea Party, the original, not just the movement. But you know, America, we're much more a coffee drinking culture, and I think it is apropos, and I commend you for doing it, Don. So thank you for your bravery in that.
No, and I appreciate that. And you know, it hasn't been easy, and I know that Charlie comes under fire a lot, and I know that as conservatives, and I'm a constitutionalist, and that's what I believe in. And like I was telling you before, but you know, for me, I want to let the coffee speak for itself. I've gone through a lot of time and a lot of training and a lot of energy and resources, not just to get into the coffee game, because there are a lot of amazing roasters out there, a lot of veteran-owned roasters out there that we all have a unique message. And like I was saying before, that coffee is the one thing that people will purchase solely based on the beliefs of the roaster and the company and the consumer. And so why not bring the Constitution? Why not bring amazing coffee to the population and to the American people? I mean, it's a perfect fit. And so with all of our different roasts and the time that it takes to procure those roasts and to procure the beans and to do everything that it takes to really dial that in, I believe it's an exceptional coffee. And I think Charlie can agree with that, can't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a phenomenal product, I could tell you. We got the same mug right here. And in fact, we got we have the American Patriot medium roast right here. And let's see what else we got. Oh, we got two of them. And so one full pound of freedom. Talk about kind of how you think you know, we as conservatives need to purchase in alignment with our values, and how you're seeing that impact the business and what you're trying to do.
I think most of all, because we're all of a sudden thrusted into this cancel culture of business. You know, you look all around, it just seems like every day conservative companies are being targeted. And I think if as conservatives, we need to not only band together and support one another, but to be able to share that message and, you know, to be able to come together, back together as a company to support small business. And you know, it's, I think that we're at a critical turning point in our history for this.
What I love about what you said is the reverence for the Constitution and for the constitutional values is just so rare. So can you also talk about just first responders in general? You know, on 9/11, as this episode airs this day, we're remembering people that went into the conflict and went into the fire and went in to try and sacrifice themselves for a broader purpose. That kind of commitment to duty, which I feel we're losing in our country right now. Can you talk about that in your own personal life and how that's a value you and your company really tried to embody?
9/11 and the actual day has burned into my mental psyche, as it has with millions of other people. As a medic and the training that we've gone through, and I correlate it back with the shooting of August, October 1st, 2017 in Las Vegas. Your training kicks in, and the firefighters that I know that I revere, and it's not just firefighters, it's all of our law enforcement. My belief on this, and one of the things that drives Minutemen Coffee, is these are the true Minutemen. These are the true American heroes that have sacrificed so much for so many. How many other professions besides our military and our first responders actively put that uniform on and go out and put themselves into harm's way and sacrifice what other people can't even fathom? To me, that is what the epitome of a Minuteman is. Whether we're standing up and fighting the tyrants of 1733, 74, 75, 1776, or modern day blazing into that fire and rescuing those children, or just coming up in within the law enforcement and the medic community. And I think the first responder community is getting a bad rap now with this cancel culture and law enforcement. And you know, the big shout out to our medics, our paramedics and our EMTs. You know, they're the unsung heroes in paramedicine, and we need to honor them. We need to honor this entire organization. On top of that, Charlie, our military.
Amen.
I mean, they're paying the ultimate sacrifice, and we need to honor them and we need to rally. And it's not just the National Fallen Firefighters. Like I was saying earlier, there are a lot of great coffee companies out there, and I've been honored to try them and work with a lot of them and a lot of great veteran communities. But as a firefighter at heart, this was a perfect fit.
I'm looking at your wonderful website, MinutemenCoffee.com, and it catches my attention. Coffee for we the people, and we are the sovereign,
yes,
of this country. Unapologetically,
yes, we
patriotic. We stand with those who protect and defend our freedom and liberty from those of us who wish to take it from us. Now, everybody listening, we all have something that we are guilty of, myself included. I go to Starbucks too often because it's convenient. Stop it. And I'm telling that to myself, okay? I'm saying that to myself. I got to stop it. Now, we've already waged war on Dunkin' Donuts because their coffee is garbage, okay? It's actually really bad. Starbucks, you probably think it's bad too, but it's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. So everyone, we gotta go buy from the good guys. They have the Betsy Ross. They have the Don't Tread on Me. They have the Victory Line, the American Patriot, MinutemenCoffee.com. And producer Andrew, I called him the other day, and he was like, man, this is good coffee. I mean, and we were just kind of chatting back and forth with it. Andrew?
No, this is absolutely true, because I went to school at the University of Washington in Seattle. Okay. You know, it wasn't quite so radical then. But Don and I bonded over the fact that he's up in the Pacific Northwest. I have experience in the Pacific Northwest. When you are steeped in the Northwest coffee culture, your coffee better put up or shut up. And this coffee is very, very good, I will attest. I mean, it's legitimately, I mean, Don, you are following in that heritage. That is certainly true, and in many ways probably exceeding it.
Because Starbucks burns their roofs, let's be honest.
And I appreciate that, Andrew. I really do. And you know, I take pride in the fact that, you know, we are roasting in small batches. This is one of our roasters directly behind me. As you can see, the green coffee, you know, all of our coffee is single origin. All of our coffee sourced personally by myself. We use an importer to bring it in. Every batch is meticulously tasted for consistency. The new bag that we relaunched in, back at Memorial Day with the new bag design. But yeah, we are behind enemy lines up here in the great Northwest. And, you know, there are a lot of coffee snobs and with thousands of reviews that are coming in every week. It's an honor to be a part of this community now and be known as a legitimate coffee roaster. We're not fly by night. You know, we are the roaster. We are here doing this on a daily basis. I've got a great team that fulfills our orders. We do get it out every day. We're shipping every single day. We have amazing customers. And, you know, to bring you guys on and to be a part of this and to be a part of this 9/11 tribute, it's a surreal moment, the fact that here we are 20 years later. And the fact that how far away from the front of our thought process that this has actually happened now. How many people have forgotten about what happened today, 20 years ago. And I want to bring that back. And so if there's one thing that I can convey to the listening audience and to people who follow Minuteman Coffee and Charlie Kirk and Turning Point and these great organizations is that for the next year, there is not a single one of the listeners out there right now do not have a fire department or know of a firefighter or know of a medic or know of a police officer that would not benefit from this coffee. And I'm asking that as a nation, that we come together as a nation, purchase this coffee, allow us to raise that $250,000 goal for the National Fallen Firefighters Association so that we can honor them for the next, I mean, not just next year, but for years to come. That's all I'm asking is just join me in this coffee revolution. Join us on this journey. Help us get the word out. Help us honor these true American Minutemen. And that's why I started this company. And that's why I believe we're going to be here for a very long time.
Well said. Well, everybody, check it out. MinutemenCoffee.com. It'll fire you up. It'll give you, it accomplishes three things. Gives you energy. You support the good guys. And the proceeds go to a great, great charity. MinutemenCoffee.com. Check it out, everybody. I know that you'll love it. You have lots of energy, so we could save the country. Boy, we need it.
There you
all
go.
Right. Thanks so much.
Got a lot of work to do, guys.
Appreciate it. Talk to you guys
thanks,
soon.
Thanks, Don.
Thank
there
you.
There you go. I appreciate you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Let's go to cut 71 of Bush addressing the nation the night of 9/11. Let's go to cut 71.
These acts of mass murder were intended to frighten our nation into chaos and retreat. But they have failed. Our country is strong. A great people has been moved to defend a great nation. Terrorist attacks can shake the foundations of our biggest buildings, but they cannot touch the foundation of America. These acts shattered steel, but they cannot dent the steel of American resolve.
And cut 72, George W. Bush at Ground Zero, days after the attack, he was talking into a megaphone. Cut 72.
I want you all to know that America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I can hear you. I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And then cut 73, George W. Bush. Remember when he threw out the first pitch after 9/11 and how it showed that the entire country was united for just a couple weeks. And he was saying our way of life will continue. You think that people are afraid of the Chinese coronavirus? I remember my father and my sister went and visited Disney World months after 9/11, and it was a ghost town. People were afraid to fly. People were afraid to go to mass gatherings. There was a spirit of fear in America for months afterwards. Cut 73.
Don't bounce it. They'll boo you. All of a sudden, the pressure mounted.
The President of the United States.
The crowd just erupts in a chant of USA. There is nothing like it that I've ever experienced at a ballgame. It was overwhelming. It was just overwhelming.
President Bush is standing out there like a brick wall. I'm not afraid of terrorists. I'm going to stand all out here. I'm going to give you a thumbs up, and I'm going to throw a strike.
At that moment, everybody there was there for baseball and to show the world that in spite of what can happen to us, we'll pull ourselves together, and what is our life and our way of life will continue.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.